The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, other Elijah, still others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and looked at his disciples, rebuked Peter, and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in unprecedented times. Yet what we know is that all times belong to Jesus Christ, but they're unprecedented times. And it's like, I don't want to speak to your heart, but I know I had a parishioner of ours come up to me right before Mass and came up and just said, "Father, we need to pray, you and me right now, please, right here in the parking lot." Because they found out that one of their loved ones just passed away today. And so that parishioner out there, not to single out that parishioner, but I know you're out there, yeah, definitely right here lifting your loved one up in my heart, and our whole parish inviting you to lift this loved one of theirs up in your heart. So we pray to Hail Mary right there in the parking lot. And that's what we need to be for each other. To not be afraid to step out and say, "I need you, I need your prayers, I need your help, I need your encouragement," right? And at the same time to respond and to come together and pray. Whether it's in the parking lot, coming up here, or on the way out. We all carry heavy burdens, and it's like in these times right now, I don't know your hearts, but Jesus knows your heart. The Holy Spirit knows your heart, he knows my heart. But it's like, There's a lot of smoke and mist and confusion and stuff. And it's like, which way do I need to go in this moment in life? Where do I need to go? There's a lot of smoke and mist or challenges. Like, but I'm looking for the truth. Where am I going? Where can I get the truth? I have a lot of noise out there, but where's the truth? And there's a longing, a deep longing in the heart of every single human being created in God's image and likeness for life. Not just believers in Jesus Christ, but for life. People want to live forever. Because our hearts were made and created to live forever. So, I mean, when I was in the military and in the infantry, right? Oftentimes you're on a battlefield, okay? You would have the supporting fire and you would have the group moving forward on the battlefield. And the supporting fire had to throw out the smoke, had to throw out all kinds of stuff out there to try to create a diversion over here. Diversion over here so that you can attack from here. The reality of our life is like a battlefield. Whether you've been on a battlefield or not, I relate a lot to that because my experience of being an infantry officer, okay? Training that way. But I know that your life is a battlefield. You parents, raising your children, it's a battlefield. There can be those deceptions, the smoke, this, that, and the other, right? And what can happen if we're not careful, the evil one can slide in on the other side, create this over here, and rake their way in. For some of you out there, it's your place of work. It could be like a battlefield. You're going into your place of work, and you know, all of a sudden there's all this stuff that's making all this noise over here, whatever, and you feel like you're getting hemmed in on all sides. And you're looking for what's the way, how do I need to do it, where's the way I need to walk, what do I need to do? The answers, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is Jesus. Okay? Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knew the hearts of his apostles. He took them aside, and he took them to Caesarea Philippi, which was a huge mountain where Peter, after his profession, he called him rock in another gospel. But that mountain had a bunch of niches in it, which were for pagan gods. So he took them where a lot of people were offering their lives in certain ways to gods. They had a longing for a communion with a god and for life and different things, and they were searching. And he asked them, he says, who do people say that I am? And so what do? They rattled off the whole popular opinion of the time. Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah. I mean, still others, one of the prophets. But then Jesus looked at them and said, yeah, but you've been walking with me. You saw the miracles. You saw the things I did. You know, I mean, you saw, who do you say that I am? And it's a personal question that comes to each one of our hearts today. In the today of your life, Jesus is looking at you and he's loving you. Independent of how you answer that question, he is loving you. He loves you. And not just us that are in the pew. He loves every soul created in his image and likeness. But he needs believers who are willing to profess, as he challenged Peter and them, to truly say who he is. Our blessing is we have the end of the story, right? Sometimes it can kind of be like, man, if I was only with Jesus when he was walking on the shoreline and all that stuff, and if I saw that miracle, I would have believed in him. I would have, well, I don't know. His divinity was concealed in his humanity. Yeah, but if I was with him, and I could like hug him and touch him and all that stuff and walk with him and sit by a campfire, I'd believe. I don't know. He was like us in all things but sin. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes to speak to us in the today of our life through his living word. Isaiah, speaking of the suffering servant. James, in his writing, saying, you can't just talk the talk and say, I'm a believer in Jesus if you don't walk the walk. James challenging the people that time. So Jesus is looking at us and saying, who do you say that I am? Well, we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, yes, he did say, hey, follow me, come and you will see, I am the way. He said, I'll show you the way. But he also said, I am the way. Jesus, I'm sure he said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I will tell you the truth. There's a lot of voices out there, but I'll tell you the truth. You'll hear my voice, and you'll know it. My sheep will know my voice. He says, yeah, I'll tell you the truth, but not only will I tell you the truth, I am the truth. Jesus spoke about, I will bring you fullness of life. I came that they may have life, and they have life to the full. But not just that they may have life, I am life. I am life, Jesus. So Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Independent of the smoke and the messiness that can happen in our daily life, right? We have to look to Jesus, the suffering that we have. I want to share with you a story, okay, of a friend of mine from college who I knew. Someone who was real. Someone whose life has ended, but he's gone on to be with our Lord. And I believe he's one of the saints with our Lord because the way he lived his life and the way he crossed the finish line of his life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Name's Jimmy Richies. Jimmy Richies was a third generation firefighter. Jimmy Richies was the very first firefighter to go into the Twin Towers when they were coming down. Jimmy Richies, two children and a wife. He was going up and he kept going up and was going up until those towers came down. He was going up and helping other people down, and he went down with those towers. But he was lifted up in his way of life. A real hero. And why are we drawn to people like that offer that ultimate sacrifice? Jimmy Richies, he was someone that when he hit that tower, he was like, there's only one way, and the way is, I gotta go up. People are in need. I've gotta run into the smoke and the fire and whatever's going on, because that's the way. That's what we fire men and women do. Jimmy Ritchie's, I'm sure in his heart, said, the truth is there are people in need up there, and I need to go, and I need to climb those stairs as fast as I can. And the truth is I need to help them before myself. I can't think about myself. Get down. Jimmy Ritchie's saying there is life to be saved. And in the gospel, Jesus saying one who seeks to save his life loses it. And the one who loses his life for the gospel and my sake saves it. So I believe people like that, they save their life because they lay down their life and they imitate Jesus on the cross, and he offers that eternal life. That's something that's real. That's a family I know, one of many who's suffering in these times. Here's the bottom line. For us followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is our way, the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. There is no Jesus Christ, as St. Paul would say, without the cross. We preach Christ crucified, a scandal to the Greeks, an absurdity to the Jews. It's the word of God, that's St. Paul speaking. Here's the reality, and this may hurt, okay? Nobody needs to feel bad, because I'm not going to say, get behind me, Satan, okay? That's not coming out. But you know, we can be Catholics, but not Christians. What? Yeah, we can be Catholics without Christians. You know, the very first followers of Jesus Christ, read the Acts of the Apostles, they were called the Way. They weren't called Catholics, they weren't called Christians. What are y'all doing? We're following the way. Because the way was Jesus, the person of Jesus who was real. Then in Antioch, it says in the Acts of the Apostles, they were first called Christians, which means cassette Christ, miniature Christ, imitation of Christ. Catholic comes later, which means universal, which means it's open to everybody. But see, sometimes what's happened, and we can happen, is we identify more with being culturally Catholic than we do being Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. In other words, I want to follow a Jesus, but not a Jesus with a cross. I want to live my comfortable Christianity, and don't ask me to kind of do that. I want to go to the a la carte and say, just like Chipotle, no offense, Chipotle or Mezzi or whatever down there. I'll take the spinach, but no, I don't want that arugula. I don't do the arugula thing. How about a little cheese? I got to have that kind of cheese. I don't want this kind of cheese. Right? So we can almost like, let me just kind of select what I like about living my faith and following Jesus. Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, let me tell you something. Isaiah was the first reading. Let me tell you something. Get behind me, Satan, because that's where I'm going. The truth is, I'm going to the cross for you. You don't get it now, but you'll get it later. That's where I'm going. And anybody who wants to follow me must take up their cross daily. Take up your cross, carry it, and follow me, because that's where we're going. We're going to Calvary. But it's through the cross to the resurrection. For Christians, we're called to carry our cross, and not only our crosses, but help our brothers and sisters, and even help others carry theirs. And from our crosses, we're called to cry out, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. From our crosses, we're called to imitate Jesus. There can be no Christianity without the cross. So we can't have any more in our times the idea of being a cultural Catholic. That don't work. What do I mean by that? Okay, here we go. All right. Those are the people, and I'm not pointing fingers, but those are the people that are lost that we're called to go back out of. They missed it a little bit. We got to go back out to our neighborhoods, places of work, and all that stuff. People I'm talking about is like when I was Atlanta Braves chaplain, and I go in there and you got all the fancy people that are working behind, you know, ESPN and all that stuff, and you get to go, all that neat little stuff behind the scene, and you go there and you're talking to them, and someone goes, hey, Father, hey, nice to meet you, good to see you, Father. They know I'm Father, so if they call me Father, that means they're Catholic. Hey, Father. I say, hey, nice to meet you. Hey, they say, Father, just want to let you know, I'm from Philadelphia. I'm not picking on Philly. I'm from Philadelphia, went to Catholic school my whole life. My whole life, you know what? And when I went to Catholic school my whole life, I went to Mass every day. So, Father, I just want to let you know in front of everybody here, hundreds of people in here, that because I went to Mass every day as a Catholic, I don't need to go to Mass anymore. I got my dose of Catholicity, and then now I'm good. But I tell you what I won't miss. Oh, man, I won't miss St. Patrick's Day. I got my green. We're going to wear my green, and I'm going to drink my beer, and I'm going to do my beer crawl. Why? Because I'm a Catholic, and oh, yeah, the fish fry, too. I'm all about the fish fry. I'll go to that fish fry, I'll buy the fish, but I won't go to Mass before the fish fry. Or if I go to Mass, I'll go to Mass because I feel guilty going to Mass. And if you feel guilty, what brought you here today was because you feel guilty if you don't go. I pray that you leave not feeling guilty, but feeling loved, and that you feel what brings you here is an opportunity to step into the presence of a God who loves you, a God who went to the cross for you, a God who inspired someone like a Jimmy Ritchie's to run into the fire. A God will even pursue you if you walk away, and even the ones who walk away, he's pursuing them. But a God who's going to look at me, and he's going to look at you on a daily basis when we wake up and our feet hit the ground, when nobody else is looking or watching, and he's going to ask us in our heart as we step into our schools, as we prepare for that board meeting. He's going to ask us in our heart before we push click on that email. He's going to ask us that email that we read, is that a Christian email? Is that with the right type of language of a Christian? Or is it something that's really going to build others up and move them in freedom to maybe change their mind or whatever? I'm going to tell you real quick, the fastest path, the quickest path to being unhappy is to set your hearts on fixing people. On changing people. Because if we're really honest, if our goal, even myself as a priest, is to fix people and change people, I'm going to be miserable. Because the honesty is, I have a hard enough time fixing my own heart. My heart's broken. I'm here with you. I'm walking with you. I need Jesus as much as you. And I need to activate my faith really in a way almost more than you, because I'm saying the words that are his words. And I'm saying, do this in memory of me. And then I got to look at my own broken hands and my broken life and saying, you're using me, Jesus, to bring this. And you're coming up and activating your faith. And your faith is driving my faith. You're knowing who Jesus is when you come up and say amen at the time of the Eucharist. It's powerful. The little ones who come up and look at their moms and dads coming to receive. And they see the faith lived at home. They see them professing, as St. James says, I know who Jesus is because we're going to break open the Word of God at dinner. I know who Jesus is because my children are going to see the way I speak to my spouse. I know who Jesus is because my children and my family are going to see my patience in the grocery store line with the person who's maybe not bagging it exactly as I want it. And then they see your faith coming up here and say amen to the Eucharist. And every now and then those little ones go, I want some of that. They do. They stick their hand out. Jesus wants to give it to all of us. Jesus wants to give it to all of us because he truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we let him, he will show us the way into the smoke, in the mist, in the brokenness of our times. He will show us the truth in the way in which we're supposed to walk to proclaim his good news in the world. He will bring us to the fullness of life, the joys that are promised for heaven in this life, if we're willing to lay down our life for the gospel. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.